Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey here. Steve is on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio as we speak. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at stevejonespsu. Give our Facebook page a like. And of course, we take your calls toll-free at 1-800-795-9565. And great news for our fans of our Steve Jones Show podcast. Our podcasts are now available on Google Play Music. So if you happen to have a Droid-powered phone or tablet,
Who set up this account?
That would be, there's no way I can take full credit on that. We give credit to Kevin Herr, a.k.a. The Suit, for that.
Are we sure this works?
Definitely works. We even brought in Drew Kelly for a test run, and he is now a pride, a big subscriber of the Steve Jones Show podcast on Google Play Music. So if you have a Droid-powered phone or a tablet, like let's say you have a Galaxy S6 or a 7, go into Google Play Music, search Steve Jones Show, and subscribe to our podcast. Coming soon to iTunes. We hopefully will have iTunes on it very soon.
Are we sure this works?
I rustled up as many people as I could in the building that have Droid-powered phones, and we batted 1,000 this morning. So all of this week's shows are available via podcast on Google Play Music. I know. Startling.
All these people are trying to impress you, so I'm not... I don't know. I'm not buying.
They're trying to make me feel good. They're putting up a brave face.
I mean, for you, absolutely. first of all, I'm a big believer in starting out with the basics. Let's examine the team photo. Okay, so let's start. I'm a big believer in stuff like that. All right. Who put this together?
All right. Yeah, last I checked, the team photo was you and I from from last August at Penn's Tavern.
Exactly. All right. Now let's look at the team photo of the person that put this together. Okay, who ended up on some banner two pins shy of a load. Drew, get back on the road.
Yeah, he's fine.
Drew's like, I can't believe this. So this is how people can pick up the show.
Yep, another way that they can access our Steve Jones Show podcast through Google Play Music and coming soon to iTunes. That's now next on our hit list. So that's going to come together as soon as possible. We'll definitely keep you posted on that. And of course, you can always go to stevejonesshow.com, click podcast, and listen there. Of course you can.
Or you can listen live.
Or listen live.
You're listening live. Okay.
And if you are listening live, we're pretty much exactly 4 hours away from the startup of tonight's Sweet 16 and hoops. Man, I'm having basketball withdrawals the last couple of days. I'll admit I watched Central Florida, the NIT game that Dokic called on ESPN. Kind of tied me over till tonight.
Yeah.
Had to watch something.
I think, what, Indiana's the only Big Ten team alive in the NIT, I think. Where'd they lose? They lose to Central Florida?
Yeah, when I was watching the game, they were down, oh, they were down close to 20 in that game.
Ah, Brad Underwood, who spent one awesome and scintillating year at Oklahoma State, got the job in the end. Okay. All right. Great to have everybody on board here today. I've got to take everyone through this because I saw one of the more remarkable stories I've ever seen. Fortune magazine named their top leaders in the world. Top leaders in the world. Not one of you can possibly fathom or guess who number one is. Okay? This is the greatest leaders in the world. Now, I'll give you a start. Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, was 10. The Pope is in the top 10. Okay. Now I'm going to let everybody think for a moment and guess who number one is. I'll tell you number. Let me tell you, number one is not. It was not in the top 10. Donald Trump is not in the top 10.
Oh, not. Okay? I would have thought. Yeah, I would have thought in the top 10, but I would have thought in the top 10, but not number one.
No, not in the top 10.
Okay.
This is Fortune magazine, read by many people in our building, except in one office.
Well, come on, man. He's busy selling.
Sounds to me like he's been busy setting up iTunes.
That's next. That's so next on the list.
So he can follow high school pole vaulting. Okay.
All right, so is the person that's number one on Fortune, does he or she have something to do with sports?
Yes.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's why this is fascinating. As I mentioned, Angela Merkel was 10. The Pope was 3. So think about it, all right? Think about this. We'll come back with the top 10 from Fortune in a moment on ESPN News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, so Fortune magazine decided to do a piece on the 10 greatest leaders, or actually it's more than that. I think it goes like 20. I will tell you that LeBron James, believe it or not, is on this list at 11. All right. Janet Yellen, professional dart thrower, is 17. What? Okay. So they listed, it's an annual list that Fortune magazine does of the world's 50 greatest leaders. Okay. And I'm going to give you the top 10 here of who they happen to be. The top 10 happen to be number 10, Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany. Okay. John McCain, Senator from Arizona, is 9. Tsai Ing-wen, who I believe is the leader of Taiwan, is 8. H.R. McMaster, who now is the president's chief foreign policy advisor, he replaced Michael Flynn, he's 7. Ava DuVernay, who is the producer of the movie Selma, 6. Jeff Bezos, what, Amazon? Is that correct?
Head of Amazon, yes.
It is 5. Melinda Gates from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is 4. Pope Francis is 3. Jack Ma, of course, is 2. Now, let me give you an indication of where some other people are that people would know here. Let's see. Janet Yellen, 17, the head of the Fed. Samantha Bee is 19.
Really?
Yes. John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, is 21. Joe Biden, who's unemployed, is 23. let's see. Anybody else in here? That people would know? I mean, most of these people know. No, not everybody would know. I mean, Donald Trump's not on here. And neither is Vladimir Putin. In terms of... But Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, is 48.
So number one is someone that is sports related. The first person that came to mind to me, possibly number one, would be Roger Goodell.
Nope.
Commissioner.
Theo Epstein, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs.
Come on, if they wouldn't have won the World Series, would he at least cracked the top 20?
I'll just read you the piece. I'll tell you the general piece on him. In the fall of 2016, as partisan distrust and division reached abysmal depths, fascination with the Chicago Cubs became that all-too-rare phenomenon that united America. As the Cubs fought to end a 108-year championship drought, television ratings for the World Series soared by almost 50%, even as casual fans who didn't know a bunt from a beanball stayed up late to watch the excruciating extra-inning Game 7 that turned baseball's most famous lovable losers into winners at last. The Cubs owe their success to a five-year rebuilding program that featured a concentration of different leadership styles. The team thrived under the affable patience of owner Tom Ricketts and later under the innovative eccentricity of a manager by the name of Joe Madden. But most important of all was the evolution of the club's president for baseball operations, Theo Epstein, the executive who realized he would need to grow as a leader in order to replicate in Chicago the success he had in turning around the Boston Red Sox. In his book, The Cubs Way, Sports Illustrated writer Tom Verducci, Penn State's own, describes that evolution showing how a deeper understanding of important human qualities among his players, the character, discipline, and chemistry that turned skilled athletes into leaders, enabled Epstein to engineer one of the most remarkable turnaround in sports. He is the number one guy. He is the greatest leader in the world. And guess who's the person who thinks it's the biggest joke of all? Theo Epstein. You know what? And that's why maybe he deserves to be number one. Because he's like, what? I'm what? I'm Fortune Magazine's what?
Well, that's ironic you brought up the Red Sox, you know, Theo, you know, there at one point. I was trying to think of, okay, sports, worldwide, global scope. But I was thinking John Henry, who, of course, owns both the Red Sox and the Liverpool Football Club. But
but you look at this list. And,
I was reaching.
You know, like, for example, I mean, Ava DuVernay, okay? She's number six. Okay, she's less than a decade into her acting career. First African-American woman to helm a film nominated for Best Picture. Her own Oscars snub is in the directing category that year. And the zero Oscar nods for non-white actors in successive years stirred up controversy over Hollywood's lack of diversity. Former publicist never shied away from the issue, tweeting to her 600,000-plus followers that shame is a heck of a motivator after the Academy tweaked its membership rules to bring in more minority voters. She finally did receive her first Oscar nod this year for 13th, a stirring documentary about race in America. She's now making history again as the first black woman to direct a movie with a $100 million budget, Disney's A Wrinkle in Time. Her success continues to draw attention to Hollywood's need for better representation of women and minorities, both in front of and behind the camera. So she's number six. So this is not exactly a traditional listing here. Okay? You know, I mean, John McCain is number nine. He's a senator. John Kasich, LeBron James is 11. John Kasich, the governor of the state he plays in, is number 12. He's so powerful he won a state in the primary. The CEO of Save the Children International is 14. Client Science Center from Texas Tech director is 15. Equal Justice Initiative Executive Director is 16. The head of the Fed, Janet Yellen, 17. For example, they have Joe Biden. I mean, Samantha Bee, executive producer of Full Frontal's 19. Let's see. Unilever CEO is 20. Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice, 21. Chief of Police in Minneapolis, Janae Hartu, is 22. Okay. But, for example, Barack Obama is not on the list, but Joe Biden is. This is from Fortune magazine. If it just, if that magazine could just make its way into one, I mean, Shakira's 27. If this magazine could just make it down the hall to one more office. Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, is 31. So, I mean, there you go. But all pale in comparison to Theo Epstein, who, by the way, is brilliant at his job. So let's not in any way, shape, or form. And as you know how I feel about lists. Like, they mean nothing. I mean, but they do bring up every once in a while an interesting topic for a talk show. Now, the president of Lithuania is 45. Can anybody name the president of Lithuania? Just, oh, wait a minute. I think Lawrence can. All right. So. So there you go. In the top 50, Theo Epstein, number one. Look, he's brilliant at his job. And I think that's all he cares about is being really good at his job and helping his organization. Where you fall on some list does become somewhat irrelevant.
I'm still trying to figure out Samantha Bee. Yes, her show was just re-upped for a second season on TBS. She used to be on The Daily Show. She was one of the mock correspondents for Jon Stewart. But I would have thought of her being like a funny person in the top 20 that's kind of influential global. I would think it'd maybe be John Oliver from HBO or maybe Stephen Colbert.
Well, this is, I mean, you read this thing, like, and you're looking at the different people on the list.
It's quite a mix.
Oh, it's quite a mix, all right. Hey, by the way, I hope you heard earlier today, Nigel Hayes of Wisconsin was on the Dan Patrick Show. Talked about the best and the toughest player he's played in his college career. His answer? The same as Frank Kaminsky's was when he was asked the same question 2 years ago. DJ Newbill of Penn State. I'm not so sure in my time here in any sport I've ever seen, I saw a mentally tougher kid than DJ Newbill. Brian Tripp coming up at 4:06. We'll talk about the NCAA hockey tournament.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, we've done more research into the Fortune magazine top 50. I guess they extended it out. Guess who came in at number 64? You'll never guess. Come on, Sean, you can do it.
Someone sports related?
Can be.
Okay, you said Trump wasn't on the list at all. Bill Gates wasn't on the list at all.
No.
Warren Buffett obviously wouldn't be listed that low.
Well, yeah, no, but he's not sports related. Has some sports, you know. Number 64 was the suit.
Come on.
Uh, The local version of...
No one on the Olympics, no one in IndyCar and Formula One made it, and there's the suit at 64.
64. It's really amazing how that happened. It's feel like you're in the land of make-believe when you see stuff like that.
Cook the ballot box. Come on.
Well, unfortunately, when it comes to digital media internally, someone has been cooking the books. No,
hold on, we're still in tax season. Hang on there.
Every day, Roger must sit in the meetings going, really? You did? Really? I swear I sold something.
Go get him, Sparky.
Let's face it. I mean, he is Danville's version of LeVar Ball. I mean, now all of us have to follow someone's track and field pole vaulting career. All right.
I like your nickname for LeVar better than his real name.
LeVar Kardashian. All right. Quote of the day, Jim Harbaugh. He was talking about the similarities between the administration at Indiana that fired his brother-in-law, Tom Crean, to those who manage his former employer, the 49ers. What they know could not blow up a small balloon. All right, time now for this day in sports history. Bill Mozianko in 1952 of the Chicago Blackhawks scored the fastest hat trick in NHL history. He scored 3 goals in 21 seconds. 1971, the Boston Patriots announced they would change their name to the New England Patriots. 1972, Evel Knievel broke 93 bones after successfully jumping 35 cars. Is that a success? I told you about the Philadelphia Daily News, right? When Evel Knievel died. And, of course, the Daily News is famous for their headlines. You know what the headline... I was in Philadelphia at the time, so they were leaving the papers at the door at the... we stay in classy hotels, ones that you don't have a key from the outside. I picked up the paper, and the headline shows him that he passed away, and it says, "What took so long?" I'm like, what? That kind of headline is that?
I thought that'd be something from the New York Daily News.
No, this is the Philly Daily News. Oh, one time there was a hit in downtown Philly at a restaurant, and you know what the headline said? "And a side of lead, please." 1991, the London Monarchs beat the Frankfurt Galaxy 24-11 to win the World League of American Football's first game. 1994, Wayne Gretzky, 802nd career goal to pass Gordie Howe in the NHL's all-time scoring list. And 1995, Jaromir Jagr, then with the Penguins, became the first European to lead the league in scoring, the NHL. And guess what? He's still playing. He's still playing. How amazing is that? Jaromir Jagr. And not only is he still playing, he's still good. He's still a good player.
Yeah, he was just in Pittsburgh a couple days ago, and they gave him a nice tribute on the video board and got a little dusty. So I think pretty much the animosity between him and the Pens fans finally long gone.
Oh, it's long gone. I mean, but we're paying tribute to him. Doesn't mean he's retiring. He just keeps on going. It's like Old Man River. Unreal. Good for him. You give them a lot. You got to give somebody like that all the credit in the world. The kind of shape that you have to stay in is remarkable. Remarkable. I mean, think about that. It really is. Brian Tripp's going to join us next half hour to discuss the Penn State hockey first round game with Union coming up. Bob Flounders will join us tomorrow on the show. Looking forward to that. And so that's what we have coming up.
And, of course, your brother.
Yes, he'll be on tomorrow as well.
I figured we would maybe for our picks tomorrow, we'd take two of the winners from tonight and a couple from tomorrow night. So we'll pick three or four games. See where we go.
Why not?
Sure.
On the surface, it sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy. Penn State football off and rolling. First practice yesterday. They do have a coaches clinic this weekend. And they will have an opportunity here to get two more practices in as this goes.
And granted, it was the first practice last night. Anything to you kind of jump off the page on the first one?
Let's start with this. Really good start. You don't know what you're going to get first time out. Not bad. Not bad. No, I mean, look. They have a chance to be obviously really, really good. The schedule is really, really tough. You do have to go to Ohio State. You do have to go to Michigan State. And part of when I look at a schedule really does depend a lot. And see, I look at schedules differently than I think a lot of than fans do and maybe other people do. For example, when I look at a basketball schedule for Penn State, I'm talking about the conference schedule. What do you think is the first thing I look at? You can't guess. All right, so I'll fill in the blank myself. The first thing I look at is, who do you play home and away? Okay? And then, where are your one plays? Because, and I want to look at the top of the, I want to look at the top of the league, and I want to see what I perceive as the top four or five teams, and who do they play home and away, and who do they play once and where? And, because not everybody plays the same schedule in the league. Because of the way it's set, it's not a double round robin anymore. So that's the first thing I look for. So in football, let me tell you the first thing I look for in football when I see a schedule. I already know off the top of my head which teams that Penn State will play and where in their own division. So the first thing I look for on the schedule is I look to see who the crossover games are and where. Some are going to be easier than others. Again, there's no balanced schedule in the Big Ten. None. So since there is no balanced schedule in the Big Ten, you have to take a long, hard look at. Well, Penn State has to play at Iowa. Penn State has to play at Northwestern and is home in Nebraska. That is not, on paper, going into this, the easiest crossover schedule you can have. At Iowa, at Northwestern, home Nebraska. So that'll come into play. I mean, the non-conference, all three are at home. Obviously, Pitt's at home. That'll bring with it some emotion. I actually had somebody suggest, and I started to chuckle, 5,000. There are 5,000 new season ticket holders. And a guy suggested to me, he said, well, Pitt's going to be here. I said, do you really think that's the reason there are 5,000? I said, Pitt, Big Ten title, chance to be in the top five in the country to start the year. Pitt, no. No. If that's the reason, then I'm really shocked. To me, it is still a great debate that is worthy of discussion as to whether Pitt is enough to fill that second spot on the schedule. And I'm thinking big picture here. I'm not a person who sits there and thinks, oh boy, if Penn State wins this, they win the Pennsylvania championship. No, I've been around here and was a tiny member, a third member of a broadcast team that was a broadcast team that worked during a national championship year. I was part of the 86 broadcast team then when they won the national championship that season. Now, obviously a tiny role as the third person, but nonetheless, it makes the resume. So I've seen aspirations fulfilled and brought to their highest height. And winning the Big Ten title, for example, is a goal. But it's one of the goals. It's part of a pathway goal. Well, beating Pitt's a pathway goal. Winning the Big Ten is an even bigger pathway. To me, if you're asking me, what, you know, and I said this at the beginning of last year, and there were some people when I went out to speak didn't like when I said this, but, you know, the eastern half of the state didn't care. The western half of the state didn't like when I said this. I said, look, I said, what's a bigger game, Ohio State or Pitt? I said, Ohio State is an exponentially bigger game than Pitt. I said, the reason it's an exponentially bigger game is that it's a conference game in your division. Common sense tells you it's a much, 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 much bigger game than a non-conference game. It just is. Now, what happened with Washington last year is actually intriguing based on scheduling for Penn State. And what was intriguing about Washington is that Rutgers was their toughest non-conference game until they played Alabama in the national semifinal. They only lost one game along the way, but they did not challenge themselves in the non-conference. They had three non-conference games like Penn State, and Rutgers was their toughest game, which is amazing. So I'm not sure the committee last year did the safe thing all the way around. Everything they did was safe. They took one undefeated team. There was one undefeated team in the nation. They made it. And there were three one-loss teams in the nation. Actually, I should correct that. Going into it, there were two undefeated teams, but one was Western Michigan. There were three one-loss teams. So they took the undefeated Power 5 team and the three one-loss Power 5 teams, and they put them in the playoff. Then they took Penn State and flipped Penn State over Michigan from 6-5, because it doesn't matter at that point if you're 6 or 5. But since Penn State won the Big Ten, they flipped them into that spot. Oh, and by the way, also for looks, because Ohio State didn't win its conference, they flipped Clemson and Ohio State from 2-3, which all that meant was Ohio State got to wear the white jerseys when they got shut out. So everything was done cosmetically. So is non-conference scheduling important in this? I think challenging yourself in one of those games is, and I think you can do it cosmetically. That's why I really was big on the Auburn schedule move in 21 and 22. Really big on that. To me, that's a big picture, visionary schedule move. I'm not big into small stuff. I'm big into making sure I take care of all the small stuff, because small stuff takes care of big things. Penn State changed its profile in the 80s because they thought big. You know what? We need to schedule Nebraska. We need to schedule Notre Dame. We need to schedule Alabama. They knew they needed to put some beef and strength into the schedule so that there would be no argument at all when it came time to find a national championship game, of which they found three times in a five-season span. They were not going to be denied in votes of people saying, well, they got there because they played a weak schedule. No, when you play Nebraska and you play Alabama and you play Notre Dame, and the Alabama and Notre Dame series were each 10 years apiece. In fact, I think Notre Dame was 12. Notre Dame was supposed to be 14. They played 12. Notre Dame backed out of the last two because Penn State was going into the Big Ten, and Notre Dame was the first one on the phone that said, hey, you wouldn't mind if we canceled the last two because you're 8-4 against us. At that point, they were 8-3 actually against them, the first 11. But he so that's why when the Auburn thing came up, I think people know in listening to the show, big picture means something to me. And that's why I still feel you've got to have some impact game in there. My question is Pitt enough of an impact game? And we don't know that yet. That we still don't have a football team there that's completely in the image of their coach yet because there's still holdovers from players from other staffs or recruited by other people. So I don't know what kind of program they really have. And that's just a fact of life. In other words, that'd be me talking about Illinois basketball with Brad Underwood. Well, there's going to be a single player on that team unless he gets one late that he recruited. Takes time to get into all of your players. That's why around here, because of the relatively few scholarships that James Franklin took over, almost everybody here is somebody he recruited. You know, a couple guys aren't, like Parker Cothran, Andrew Nelson, guys like that. They were recruited by Bill. Some guys had their recruitment started by Bill, like, say, Mike Gesicki and Saeed Blacknall, but James then finished it, and they've done nothing but play for him. All right, we'll come back, wrap up this hour in a moment. Brian Tripp, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to satisfy the most discerning buyer by making American luxury affordable. If you are looking for a midsize SUV, the Lincoln MKX has to be on your list. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has a brand new 2016 Black Velvet MKX all-wheel drive with navigation and panoramic vista roof with an MSRP of $48,640 for only $43,352. That's $5,288 in savings. You can choose from 12 MKXs in stock now. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 5 2017 Lincoln Continentals in stock, ready for the test drive of your life. The 2017 Continental won the coveted 2017 AutoGuide.com Reader's Choice Luxury Car of the Year Award. Sunbury Motors has a 2017 Continental with an MSRP of $48,315, discounted to $46,315. Now is the time to see why more people are realizing they can move up to a brand new Lincoln from Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
World Baseball Classic last night. The United States won 8-0. Marcus Stroman was great last night. 6 no-hit innings, the Toronto Blue Jays right-hander. Wow. And Andrew McCutchen ended up having a really good tournament. Really good tournament. I did not see who the MVP was. My vote would have gone to Brandon Crawford. But I don't know from the San Francisco Giants, a shortstop. Every time I turn around, he's either making a play or getting a hit. They sold out Dodger Stadium last night. I had never watched the World Baseball Classic, never, until the last two nights. And Stroman was the MVP of the tournament. Good for him. He was great last night. I mean, he pitched like it was the seventh game of the World Series. But it's the first time I ever watched it. The baseball was really good. It was captivating, had attention to it. think it helped the game.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.